When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, I'm going to tell you, our Father's just beginning to give, amen? And He gives, and He gives, and He gives, and He gives some more. That's something that God will never run out of, is His glorious grace. It's not unusual that we sang of that, of the wonderful grace of God. This past Friday, I was at the barber shop getting a little trim, and my barber and I, we always have conversation about the Lord and about the Bible. He's a pastor as well. Pastor's a church over in Glencoe, Alabama. But anyway, we'll preach a little while to one another, and of course, I was sharing with him some thoughts that God had given me for today. And by the way, there you'll see the wonderful picture of God's grace in what I share today as well, even though it does not necessarily directly mention the word grace. But you'll see God's grace in it, no doubt. But anyway, he happens to be preaching this morning from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for our blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what he's preaching about today, and he's preaching about God's great grace. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew, chapter number 7. I want us to consider this morning for just a little while on God's blockades on the highway or the road to hell. God's blockades, or we could say God's roadblocks. Let me ask you, how many of you ever been come to a standstill in the traffic before? Any of you? How many of you like that? You know, one thing that's kind of annoying, and it happened to happen just several weeks ago. I'll tell you, the devil always puts something there in your way sometimes, you know, or we can't always blame it on the devil. Sometimes it may be God putting those roadblocks there for a purpose, amen? How many of you have ever been stopped somewhere, maybe delayed at a red light, only to get down just a few miles down the road and there'd be a terrible accident there? And you could only imagine, had it not been for the grace of God, that we were prolonged or delayed by a longer red light or by some traffic that prevented us from personally being involved in that accident ourselves. We can only say that it was God's grace, amen? Because we just don't know. But we find, I know many times when I get caught up in traffic, like I said, me and Miss Donna, we were on the way, and she had a very important appointment that day. She had a procedure that had to be done, and we were supposed to be there at 8 o'clock that morning. Of course, we got out here on I-59 in between Asheville and Springville, and of course, we got there, you know, and got about halfway in between, nowhere where you could turn around or slip through the median or anywhere like that, but we were right there, and I'm going to tell you, it started slowing down. I saw the brake lights, and I thought, oh, no. And literally, we sat still for an hour. We did not move for an hour. Dead still. Now, of course, there had been, come to find out, there had been a 18-wheeler that had wrecked the night before right down at one of the Springville exits that was part of it. There was still some cleanup and stuff going on. But we stood there dead still, and I was getting hot. I was getting angry, you know, because of all this. And I kept thinking, well, you know, she's got to be there. Well, you know, she called the doctor and the doctor's office up there and told her what. They said, don't worry about it. We've got several of our patients supposed to have procedures today. They're in the same traffic. Just get here when you can, you know. And so, you know, it all worked out. But we don't know what God is doing with those blockades. A lot of times it's just His mere grace, amen? That these certain things that happen in our lives, that we might be delayed for a purpose. You know, a blockade is a means or a source of warning. It's a something out there that's there to protect us. Amen? It's just like railroad crossings. I remember the story, and I'm going to read my text in just a moment, but I remember the story back years ago. We had an engineer from one of the local railroad companies when I was working in Anniston in the Calhoun County area that came and spoke to my work group one morning. And he was talking about, you know, the hazards of railroad crossings and stuff like that, and the reason that they had these draw arms and these blockades there, you know, to keep people from going around is because of all the fatalities, you know. You've heard those saying, you know, you beat the train, you buy the farm. Or try to beat the train, you buy the farm. Or in other words, you lose your life. But this one particular engineer, he was talking about all the fatalities that he had seen over the years and been involved in as an engineer on the train. And he said there's one thing especially that is continually etched in his mind that he'll never forget. He said there was a little 16-year-old girl. It was at night. She pulled up to the cross arm, the blockade, the roadblock there to prevent her from going over the tracks. And he said, undoubtedly, she was in a hurry. So what did she do? She went around the guard gate. And when she went around the guard gate, she got caught on the tracks. And he said, the last thing that I remember as the light, you know, and they've got a massive light on the front of those trains. He said, the last thing that I remember seeing before the train struck the car, he said, I could vividly see her face and the expression of fear on her face before the train struck the car. And he could only ask the question, why? Why did she try it? Why did she go around the blockade? Unfortunately, in life and in reality, we've all done that from time to time, have we not? God has put a blockade in our life primarily to keep people out of hell. But yet we find ourselves in people all over that are constantly going around it, going around it, going around it. God has a purpose in these things. And I want to share today just a few of those blockades that God has put there to keep people out of hell. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 7, of course, we know the Lord here is bringing the Sermon on the Mount to a conclusion. And He begins here by saying, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Lord, bless Your Word today and the preaching of it. Use it to minister and speak to our hearts today. Lord, if there's one here or one that may be watching or listening, we pray for that individual today. Because, Lord, if there's one that is lost among us, Father, we know that Lord, You have put things in their lives to prevent them and keep them out of hell. I pray that they'd heed those warnings today and rather than go through. Lord, bless now this message. Use it to speak to our hearts. Use it to glorify Yourself. And may today we see Jesus. For we pray and ask all these things in the glorious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Here in these two verses, we could describe this as a sermon of two. Here we find two gates. We find two ways. We find two destinations. And we find two choices. Of course, he talks about the gates there. Of course, we know that the Bible speaks of the gates of heaven. Amen? I look forward to seeing those gates because, as the Bible describes them, that there are 12 gates to heaven. Not meaning that there are multiple ways to heaven in itself. There's only one way. But the Bible here talks about the beautifulness of heaven and the glorious gates there and all of them being a solid pearl. I'll get the word out in a moment. But anyway, the Bible also speaks about the gates of hell. You remember the Lord Jesus described this in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18 when he was responding to Simon Peter, and he said, Simon, upon this rock I will build my church. And what did he go on to say? He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Of course, the two gates, and of course, the two ways. There's a right way and a wrong way. Amen? Only two ways. A right way and a wrong way. And as Solomon said in the book of Proverbs there, wise man, as Brother Ron started a study in the book of Proverbs this morning. But Solomon said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end ways thereof are the ways of death. Unfortunately, there are many men today that are trying to get to heaven their own way instead of God's way. Folks, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus declared in John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse number 6 when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. As the Word of God declares in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Of course, the two gates, the two ways, the two destinations, folks. Of course, you well know, as you've heard and have been taught for year after year, you've heard it from this pulpit, you've heard it from classrooms right here, you've heard it from others as well, but folks, there's only two destinations at the end of the life. At the end of your journey, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And that's where we find the two choices. Because ultimately, the choice is up to you. It's just like the story that I shared just a moment ago about the young lady, 16 years old, that she made a conscious decision to go around that gate. To go around the gate. She put herself at jeopardy. She put herself in harm's way. She did not heed the warning, and as a result of it, she lost her life. Could it have been different? Yes, if she would have made the right choice. If she would have heeded the warning, if she would have stayed where she was, a good chance is that she could have probably lived to this very day. But she made the choice. And folks, those that are in hell today are there because that is the choice that they made. That is the choice that they made. Why? Because we have a loving God. We have a loving God, and as the Bible declares and reminds us in the book of Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41, when the Scripture says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now get this. What is that? That's hell. The Lord is saying to those in this judgment, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. God never had any intentions for you, for me, or any of mankind to ever go into hell. That's why the Bible describes that hell and says that hell enlarges itself every day. Do you realize that this morning? That when we think about the beauty and the glory of heaven, heaven was prepared for all of mankind. From every generation, from Adam, to this very moment in time, from generation to generation, heaven is large enough to sustain every individual. But hell was not. Hell was originally prepared by God as a place of torment for Lucifer, who was one of the archangels that rebelled against God, and God kicked him out of heaven and put him down to the sides of the pit, as the book of Isaiah 14 and the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 tells us. But he was prepared for the devil and his angels, his followers, but it was not prepared for you and me. God's intent is that all men are saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, and of course most of you could quote these verses that I share with you this morning. But Peter writes there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in chapter 3 and verse number 9 when he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." As Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, when Paul declares there that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, "For it is the power of God unto salvation," get this, "to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." John chapter 3 verse 16, one of the great and most powerful verses in the scripture. The Lord here declares there, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the Son of God." Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Realize this, that God never intended for you, for me, or anyone else to spend eternity in hell. No one. God made a way. I don't know about you, I've heard this many times before, that I'm glad that God allows U-turns on the road to life, aren't you? I'm glad that God allows us, and that's the grace of God that we're able to do that. I don't know about you, there was a day and time when I was on the highway to hell. My destination was hell, even though that was not my personal intent. No one in their right mind, and as I shared with you a testimony back years ago about a lady that I knocked on her door. I knocked on this lady's door, and I still picture it today. I don't know that this woman has ever trusted Christ as her personal Savior. I don't know if she's still alive today. I hope she's alive. I hope she's been saved. I hope that her life has been transformed. But I knocked on her door, and I began to talk to her about the Lord Jesus and the glorious gospel of Christ and how that she could be saved. And I asked her, I said, "Ma'am, I said, if you were to die tonight, if you were to die this very moment, I said, do you know that you would go to heaven? Do you know that your name's written in the Lamb's book of life?" And she said, "No." I said, "Ma'am, do you know where you would go if you were to die without Jesus Christ?" And this was her response. She said, "I'd go to hell." And she says, "I don't care." I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart. Because God never wanted that woman to die and go to hell. God's intent was that woman to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now there again, I don't know that if she ever trusted Christ. I hope she has. I walked away from there that day brokenhearted over her response of carelessness, that she didn't care. But in all reality, if she knew the torment and the judgment of hell to come, I'm going to tell you, she'd be crying out for God's great salvation. As I shared with some of you just a month or so ago, a few months ago, when I was out at Brother Rogers' church at their winter camp meeting, or midwinter or late winter camp meeting that they have every year, and Brother Simpson was preaching, and he was preaching on the subject of hell, and I've heard some great messages on that, but his message that night was probably one of the great and the most powerful message I'd ever heard on the subject of hell. Brother Ricky was out there with me. And so anyway, after the service, I went up to him, and I kind of jokingly said this, but in all reality, I meant it. Because I went up to him, and I told him, I said, "Brother Simpson, I said, I appreciate the message tonight." It touched my heart and blessed my heart. I said, and I'll tell you this, if I wouldn't have been saved, I'd have got saved tonight. Because I'm going to tell you, he painted a picture of hell. And I'm thankful today that I've been delivered from that. Amen. That I've been saved, that I don't have to worry about that awful place of torment, because one day my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people out there today, God doesn't want you to be saved. God allows U-turns. I'm thankful for the detours that we have that God puts us on, aren't you? That leads us down the road by Calvary. Amen. As we think about some of these blockades, these are just a few things that the Lord just kind of brought to mind that God has placed in mankind's way to keep them out of hell. What do you think about? You ever thought about this book right here, folks? Now realize this book we call the Bible was not written for the lost man. It wasn't written for the lost man. It was written for the saved man. That's why the Bible says that the natural man, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them because he's spiritually discerned. You know, there are people out there today that are lost and on their way to hell that know this Bible, that can quote you verse after verse after verse after verse. If I give you the name Adolf Hitler, that name would be, you would recognize that name, wouldn't you? You'd recognize that name of a man that was a madman during World War II. He tried to exterminate the Jews from the face of the earth. He was unsuccessful. Nobody will ever be successful at that. You realize in the last day during the time of great tribulation, that's what the Antichrist is going to try to do. He's going to try to wipe out the Jews. He can't do it. Why? Because they're God's people. And God has a plan. God's not finished with the Jews, by the way. He's still got a plan for them, his people. But Adolf Hitler was a man that knew this book right here. I've read over the years that at one point in his life, he thought that he might even be a priest. And I have heard over the years that he could take the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he could quote the four Gospels verbatim from chapter 1 to the end of the chapter. He knew the Bible. Do you realize that the devil knows the Bible? That's why the Bible says there in the book of James chapter 2 that the devils believe and they tremble. God has given mankind this book right here. Though it was written and designed for those that are saved, those that are spiritual, as direction in life, but also within this, God uses His precious Word to convict the lost sinner of their ungodly ways. And it points them in a way of salvation. I'm thankful for this book. It was God's holy book that God used to speak to my heart that would lead me to a place of salvation in my life. This book right here. As the Bible said in John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him, the Bible says, shall not come into condemnation, but shall be passed from death unto life. This book right here is essential, and God has given us this book right here as a blockade to keep mankind out of hell. Because in this book right here, you'll find the glorious way of God's great salvation. You'll see the penalty of sin that was paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, and the reminder that He became the substitutional sacrifice for you and me, as the Bible declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Bible. See, it's the Bible that teaches us about the consequences of sin. The Bible said the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us about the Word of God that tells us about the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ as our Savior. I've heard people say, well, you know, preacher, what sin is it that'll send a man to hell? Rejection. That's the only sin. Now, I've heard many preachers over the years, and I'm one of them, folks. I preach against everything that the Bible preaches against. If God's against it, I'm against it. Like the old major in the National Guard that I was in, and I was preaching. He said, "You preach against everything." And I said, "I preach against everything the Bible's against, and I preach for everything the Bible is for." Because he thought I was against everything. I'm not against everything. I'm for the Bible. I'm for living righteous. I'm for doing right. I'm for heaven. Amen? Amen. I'm for the church. I'm for righteous living. If the Bible says that we ought not to do it. But the only thing that'll send a person to hell is not lying. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, well, lying will send you to hell? Lying won't send you to hell. Nowhere will you find. Now, the Bible says that in hell, they're going to be liars. The Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, that heaven will be void of liars. There won't be no liars in heaven. So where are they going to be if they're not in heaven? They're going to be in hell. And hell is going to be filled with liars, but lying does not send a person to hell. I oppose gambling, I oppose drinking, I oppose tobacco, and all these things. Like Brother Billy Gooseby used to say, he said, smoking and chewing won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. Those things won't send a person to hell. Rejection of Jesus Christ will send a person to hell. That's just like the story of the rich young ruler. Good master, what shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And the Bible said, and the Lord Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, all these commandments have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And the Bible said that man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. What did he do? He rejected Jesus Christ. I had a man in my first church. This man's in glory now. I hope he's in glory. He professed salvation. But he was one of the older members of the first church that I pastored many years ago. In fact, he was one that he did vote for me, but he used to, when I first took that church, he made the comment. He said, no church should ever vote 100%. He said, I vote against everything. That's what he told me. I said, well, if I'm going to be the pastor or this particular church here, I said you're going to have to vote for me. I said, because all it's going to take is one vote against me, and I won't be here. And he voted for me. But he used to question me, and I was preaching on the rich young ruler one time, and he made the comment. He said, how do you know he's in hell? He said, the Bible didn't say he was in hell. I said, yeah, but all indications left it there that he rejected Jesus Christ. And when you reject Jesus Christ, where do you spend eternity? Say it. Hell. That's why we have the Bible. God gave us a roadblock to keep us out of hell, and we've got it. That's why there's countries around the world that need this book. That's why people around the world are longing for this book. While we own the Bible, think about a simple gospel tract. A simple gospel tract. Do you realize, folks, we take those little pieces of paper. Boy, don't we take those things for granted? Don't we think lightly of those little pieces of paper? Cameron, go get me one of those gospel tracts out of there and bring it down here to me for a minute. Just randomly pick one out and bring it down here to me. There we go. There's a good one right there. This is one of Donna's favorite right there. Donna has passed out hundreds of these right here since we got this one right here. It says, "Will you miss heaven by 18 inches?" You know what this little track right here says? All it's got is God's printed word in it right here. Tells you how to be saved, how to know it, and how to go to heaven one day. You know, when I was in Indiana pastoring up there years ago, I reached and I gave a young lady at a drugstore, a pharmacist. We'd go in there to purchase a few things, and I handed her a gospel tract. And you know what that lady did? That young lady, she was a young lady, she wasn't old. You know what that lady did? She took that tract and she wadded it up and she threw it in the trash. And she said, "I don't need it." Do you know what? She threw away her chance to heaven. I don't know if that young lady ever got saved. But I do know this, that one day in hell, she will remember that there was a preacher that happened to come through Indiana on a journey and gave her a gospel tract, and she wadded it up. She made her choice, and she threw it away. Folks, I'm going to tell you, what was that gift I gave her in that gospel tract? Folks, I'm going to tell you what it was. It was a blockade. It was God's grace trying to keep that girl out of hell. The Bible, the Word of God, the gospel tract. I remember I heard years ago, and I've got one of the tracts. It was a tract written by Oliver B. Green. And I heard the testimony of his son one day. He said, his son said, I was in a telephone booth. Some of you don't know what a telephone booth is. How many of you remember telephone booths? I do. You better have a dime with you. Some people don't even know what a dime is now. But he happened to be in a telephone booth downtown Atlanta, Georgia, which, by the way, I don't know how it was in that. It wouldn't be a good place to be today, I'll tell you that. Nowhere downtown Atlanta, Georgia. But he was downtown Atlanta, Georgia in a telephone booth, and somebody had put a gospel tract in that telephone booth. And you know who wrote the track? His daddy was the one that had written that track. This was his testimony. He said, "I picked up the track that my daddy had written." He said, "I read that track, and as a result of it, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior." Had to get into downtown Atlanta, Georgia in a telephone booth and to put a track that his daddy wrote right there to get him to a place to be saved. Isn't that good? You know, over the years, I've put these in restrooms. One thing I used to like to do is I used to like to go through the store, a department store, and I'd put them in the hands of a mannequin. That's pretty neat, isn't it? We can be creative about getting God's word out, but folks, you'd be surprised. I've seen people. I remember when I was reading meters back years ago. This was 40 years ago when I was doing that. There was a time, and I had a little pouch that I kept on my belt, and it was full of gospel tract. And at one time, there was not a house or a business in Etowah County that I had not left a gospel tract. Not one location, not one house or one business in Etowah County, I had personally left a gospel tract at every house and every business in Etowah County. Now, this took a few years to do that while I was reading meters. I read every route that we had. And if it was a customer of the company that I worked for, they got a gospel tract. And one day I was over in East Gadsden, And I was fixing to start the route at George Wallace Apartments. I don't know what they're called now. But anyway, I stepped out of my truck, and there was a man coming down the steps out of an apartment, and I ran over there to him, and I handed him a gospel tract. And I said, that's all I said. I said, sir, I said, I know you're busy, I'm busy as well, but if you'll read that tract right there, I said, it'll tell you how to be saved and go to heaven one day. And so I took off, and I started my route. Took about an hour to read all the apartments there in that complex. And by the way, this was one of the gospel tracts from Worldwide Tract Ministry. And so anyway, I'd made my rounds, took about an hour, and I was fixing to get in my truck, and he comes down and he said, sir, can you hold up just a moment? I said, how can I help you? He said, I was just wondering, he said, who do I need to mail this to? Because on the back, it used to say, you know, mail to such and such. And I said, I'll tell you right there. I said, Worldwide Tract Ministry, Bessemer, Alabama. I said, that's who you need to mail it to. And I started getting in my truck, and I thought, talk to him, ask him. And I said, sir, I said, why are you wanting to mail that back? He said, because I read the tract, and I did what it said. I said, sir, I said, did you pray and ask the Lord to come to your heart and forgive you of your sins and to save you? He said, I did. And I said, glory to God. God's Word, the Bible. That is a blockade that God has put in your life, my life, and in the lives of all mankind to keep them out of hell. And by the way, if we throw it away, disregard it, brush it aside, how many folks have taken God's Word? I'm telling you, it's taking a lot longer than what I thought. I got a lot of blockades I'm not going to be able to share with you. Looked like this is the only one I'm going to be able to share with you today, is the Bible. But that's a pretty good blockade, isn't it? Amen. You think about those that have just pushed aside God's Word. You remember a man named Felix in the Bible? The Bible said that Paul reasoned with him of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. What was Paul? Paul was giving Felix the Word of God. That's how he reasoned with him. And you remember the story of Felix and how he sent Paul on his way? He said, Paul, go thy way for now, for I'll send for thee at a more convenient season. What did he do? There was a blockade there for the man named Felix. And it was called the Bible, the Word of God. And Paul was presenting that to Felix. And what did he do? He pushed it aside. Now, what's the indication there? The indication there was a means of rejecting. There's no indication Felix ever got saved, is there? Just like Agrippa. King Agrippa in the book of Acts chapter 26, when King Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What was Paul using as a means of persuasion? He was using God's blockade called the Bible. But folks, when we discard it, when we put it aside, when we outright reject it, what is the end result of it? The end result of it is eternal damnation in hell. God has given us, folks, this book right here we call the Bible to keep mankind out of hell. Yes, we know that this book was not written for the lost. It was written for the saved. But in this book, man can find God's way of salvation. He can find God's way of deliverance. And it's, folks, it's by the way of the cross. We sing that old song, by the way, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I'll ne'er get sight of the gates of light till the way of the cross. Folks, that's it. That's the way to heaven, is by the means of the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. How do we know that? Because the Bible says so. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. Just remember the next time. And folks, it's not only just a blockade for, it's not only just a blockade to keep men out of hell. And when I speak of men, I speak of it generally as men and women. Remember, I'm not politically correct. I'm spiritually and biblically correct. But God uses His Word, yes, as a blockade, as a gate to keep men, women, boys, and girls out of hell. But He also uses God's Word as a blockade to keep you and I in the way of life and in the way of truth and in a life that is pleasing and glorifying to God. When God's arm drops His Word down in our pathway, let's don't go around it. Let's don't brush it off. Let's don't lay it aside. Brother Ron shared these verses this morning on over in the same chapter of our text when the Lord Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, He said, I'll liken unto him a wise man that built his house upon a rock. But He also said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I'll liken unto him a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. James says we're to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. God's given us this book we call the Bible, yes, to keep men, women, boys and girls out of hell. But He's also given us this book right here to keep us on the way of righteousness and the way of truth in our lives. Let's don't brush aside. Let's don't put it off. Let's heed the warning that God has for our life. Call the Bible. Pretty good blockade, isn't it? If we take it and use it for His glory. Stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. If you're here or someone that may be watching this morning, we certainly thank those that watch week after week. We have some pretty regular attendees through our live stream ministry, and we appreciate them. Don't know personally every one of them, but we have a number that do attend our service this way. But if you're here or you're watching this morning, we do trust that you know Christ as your personal Savior, that you do know that there was a time in your life that you were lost and undone, just like I was, just like anyone here. They're lost and undone on their way to hell. I recognize that. I was given the choice. And I'm glad I accepted the choice, the right choice, to receive Christ as my personal Savior, to ask Him to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, and to save me, to give me eternal life. I received that gift. As the Bible says in the book of John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you're lost today, will you accept Him as the Savior of your life and ask Him to save you? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here or watching, and God has used His precious Word as a guard gate to keep you out of hell, heed that warning today. If you're a Christian today and you have taken chances, taken things upon yourself, and don't brush that aside, God's Word. God uses His Word to bring conviction to our heart. the sermon today may have been for that very purpose. This sermon today of God's Word may have been that blockade in your life. Heed the warning today. Do what God would have you to do. Father, we pray now your blessing upon this invitation. Thank you for good liberty. Thank you for sweetness of spirit. Bless now this invitation. We commit it to you. Lord, we've been obedient. We've done the work. We've sown the seed. We've watered. Father, we pray now for the increase, the harvest. Lord, it's you that gives the harvest. It's you that gets the glory. It's you that without you we're nothing. Bless now this time of invitation, we pray, and ask it all in Jesus' name.